Welcome to this deep dive. We pull out the really compelling bits from fascinating sources. And today we're looking at a firsthand account. It's from episode 8 of the YouTube channel Military Tales. It focuses on the Vietnam War experiences of an A1 Skyraider pilot, Bob Carlson.
Bob Carlson. This is great because it gives us a, a direct view of what flying was like back then through his eyes.
Exactly. Someone who actually flew this, well, pretty iconic aircraft.
Definitely. And Carlson's memories in that episode, they should give us a really detailed look at his duties, the challenges and those missions that, really stuck with him.
Absolutely. So let's set the scene a bit. Bob Carlson, he was based at Nakhon Phanom NKP in Thailand.
The MKP,
This was July 71 to December 72. Started as a second lieutenant, got promoted to first lieutenant while he was there.
Okay, standard progression.
Yeah, but interestingly, NKP was kind of home base, but he often flew the Skyraider from other places too.
Oh, really? Where else?
Well, further south, sometimes into Vietnam proper, like Da Nang and Bien Ho,
Right into the thick of it then.
and also Ubon back in Thailand. So, yeah, his flying took him quite a bit around the region.
That really shows how flexible the A1 was, doesn't it? Its role, I mean. Supporting troops, search and rescue. They needed it all over Southeast Asia.
And that's pretty much what we want to get into today. What was it actually like flying the Skyraider? Why did he decide to stay longer? And the search and rescue missions, he talks about those quite powerfully in episode 8.
Yeah, I remember from that episode, Carlson calls the A1 extremely challenging to fly, but also a beautiful airplane. That's quite a contrast.
It is, isn't it?
What do you think made it so tough to handle? Any clues in what he said?
He doesn't get super technical in the episode, but you definitely get the feeling it wasn't an easy plane. Maybe it's age, designed for a different kind of war, perhaps.
Could be. Big radial engine, lots of torque, maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But you can also tell he really admired it. Still, beyond just flying the thing, it's really clear from episode 8 that those search and rescue missions, they meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
He says, and you can sort of hear it in his voice, "My favorite thing about the job was how rewarding the mission was. Our primary mission of search and rescue for downed pilots or crew members was the most rewarding part of the job."
That really hits home, doesn't it? It's a side of air combat we maybe don't focus on as much. Not the attacks, but saving your own.
Right.
And the risks involved in those SAR missions were huge. Getting a crew back successfully must have been an incredible feeling. Does he give specific examples in episode 8 of the risks or the celebrations?
He does touch on the logistics. Like he mentions in the episode that rescued guys weren't always brought straight back to NKP.
Oh, right.
Sometimes if it was closer or made more sense, they'd go to Da Nang or Ubon. It just shows how urgent it was, you know. Get them safe, fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Focus on extraction above all else. And he mentions the other units he worked with too, right? In episode 8. What did he say about that coordination?
He does. He remembers working really closely with OV-10s, the forward air control planes.
The Broncos, yeah. The eyes in the sky.
Yeah, exactly. And the HH-53 Jolly Green Giant helicopters, big rescue helos.
Super jollies, vital assets.
Totally. And Carlson, he clearly remembers the crews well. He talks about having a lot of memories, a lot of fond memories from those ops.
I bet.
He even describes, spontaneous celebrations right there on the ramp when a crew is brought back safely.
Ah, that's great.
And sometimes they have get-togethers, more informal, in the hooch, their living quarters, just to mark a successful rescue.
You can just picture it. That shared danger builds incredible bonds, I think. Those celebrations must have been so important for morale.
Definitely. Now, something else he discusses in episode 8 is extending his tour. He did a standard 1-year tour, but he chose to stay an extra 6 months.
So 18 months total. No, wait.
17 months, actually. July 71 to December 72.
Ah, okay, 17 months. Why did he extend?
Well, his main reason was he was interested in joining the Raven Forward Air Control Program.
Ah, the Ravens. Flying in Laos, often unmarked planes, directing strikes. Very different mission profile.
Exactly. Highly specialized, pretty dangerous work too. So it seems he wanted a different kind of challenge, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a more direct tactical role.
Did he say in episode 8 what drew him to it specifically?
He mainly explains the process he went through. First step, he had to request and get approved for a guaranteed 6-month extension.
Okay, lock in the extra time first.
Right. Then apply for the Raven job. But he makes it clear in the episode, getting the extension didn't mean he automatically got the Raven slot. That wasn't guaranteed at all.
Right, two separate steps.
And he even had a deal worked out beforehand. If he extended but didn't get selected for the Ravens, he'd just carry on flying the A1s at NKP for those extra 6 months. That shows some planning and a commitment to keep serving regardless. So what happened? We know from episode 8 he didn't get the Raven assignment in the end.
That's right. So he finished his extended tour flying the Sky Raider from NKP. And honestly, he sounds like he really enjoyed it.
Even though it's challenging.
Yeah. In fact, he says in episode 8 he thought it was an ideal first assignment for a lieutenant.
Wow. That's quite an endorsement, isn't it? Especially considering the plane and the environment. Shows how much those rewarding missions, the SAR stuff, must have meant.
It really does. And here's something pretty amazing he mentions in episode 8. In his entire tour, 17 months of combat flying, his aircraft never took a single hit.
Seriously, not one hit.
Not one. He says so himself. And he acknowledges how unusual that was.
That is unusual. Flying SAR cover, close air support. Other planes on the same missions were getting shot up.
Exactly. He even remembers one really tough mission where they lost a helicopter and the entire crew.
Jeez. Yeah, that really puts his own luck or skill or both into perspective. Incredible.
It really is. So, reflecting on it all, in episode 8, Carlson actually recommends military service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially if your career path could benefit from the kind of training or experience the military offers.
Makes sense.
But he goes further. He actually says he wishes there was some kind of system where all U.S. citizens had to serve the country somehow.
Mandatory service, like military or...
He mentions military, civilian, or even humanitarian service. Just this idea of everyone giving back, supporting the country, and, you know, fellow citizens.
Hmm. That's a pretty strong view. Comes from a deep sense of civic duty, I guess. Raises all sorts of questions about mandatory service today.
It does. And finally, just touching on connections after he left, Carlson says in episode 8 he didn't really keep in direct touch with most of the people he helped rescue.
Not surprising, maybe. People move on.
Yeah. Aside from right when they got back to base, those initial moments, he does mention a couple of names, George Wilson Hunt and the son of a pilot from a Bright Light mission. So some connections happened indirectly.
Bright Light. Those were the really urgent SAR missions, right? Trying to recover crews who were known to be alive but in immediate danger.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So yeah, those intense moments create a bond, but maybe a fleeting one once the danger passes.
Understandable. The shared experience is powerful, but life moves on.
So wrapping up this deep dive into Bob Carlson's account from episode 8 of Military Tales. Wow. We've gotten a real sense of flying the A-1 Sky Raider, the challenges and the rewards.
Definitely. And the huge impact of those search and rescue missions. It's a very personal look at a pilot's journey during that war.
It really is. Carlson's own words, his perspective from that episode, they offer so much more than just, you know, facts and figures. It's the lived experience.
Absolutely. These firsthand accounts are invaluable for understanding history on a human level.
They really are. And it leaves you thinking, especially about his point on national service, the one he made in episode 8. You know, considering his wish for some kind of universal service, what would the pros and cons even look like today in our world?
That's a big question. The benefits versus the challenges of something like that now, definitely something to mull over.